Telegram on the local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. And I'll tell you what, maybe Frank Caliendo, the next time he's in town, he should visit Vandermark Jewelers to see Bob and Jim and the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street here in Elyria, right across from the hospital. They're a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why. Dave, great to have you on, as always. How are you on this Tuesday afternoon?
I'm doing okay, Bull. I'm doing all right.
Well, there's a lot to get to today. And I know the last time we had you on, it was shortly after you put the story together talking about how Carvana is going to occupy the property at the old Spiegelberg Orchards. Now, since then, some Carvana officials have spoken with the Lorain County Commissioners. What kinds of plans did they unveil that they've got in mind for that new location?
Yeah, so this is, this is kind of a developing story of a, you know, an actual development. Where we had discussed some of the details, but Carvana representatives, a gentleman by the name of Brian Boyd, who's the Vice President of Inventory Strategy, an interesting title there, and Todd Ward, who is a manager developer for Carvana, visited with the commissioners at their Wednesday meeting and basically said, you know, they're happy to be here. They were glad for all the, you know, for all the work that the people of Lorain County put into this, and you know, and for keeping it kind of hush hush until they could finalize their plans. You know, these are long time coming economic deals, and there was a lot of kind of, you know, handshaking and backslapping, but also some more of the details that came out are basically, you know, that of these 400 people that are going to be hired to staff this new Carvana facility, basically there are going to be workers who receive, inspect, fix, detail, and photograph the cars. As some people know, or some people might not know, Carvana is almost entirely, you know, an online, you know, car dealership. Carvana.com is where you can actually see the cars, and they'll photograph them and do 150 point inspections, and you can see almost every facet of the car and widget and everything that's inside. There's not going to be one of those Carvana multi-story kiosks or what they call a car vending machine where you actually put the coin in and then it drops your car down and comes out to you. They're not going to have anything like that. That's the kind of stuff you can see that. You can go to YouTube and watch videos of how that gets done. But Carvana is going to buy a lot of these cars from individual customers or at auto auctions. That's about like a third of their inventory comes from just people who go in, get a quote, have their car picked up, reconditioned, and then resold, and Carvana pays you. You know, it's kind of an interesting way to work that. They have a 7-day, you know, no questions asked buyback plan. I don't mean for this to sound too much like a commercial for Carvana, but basically they're going to be looking for people who have technical backgrounds, you know, who have degrees or certificates, you know, who are good at detailing cars, mechanics and technicians who inspect and do all that mechanical work that might be needed, and anybody who's good at, kind of cosmetically, like looking at a car and saying, okay, we need to pull out that dent, or, you know, we need somebody who's good at, you know, painting cars, doing repairs on interiors, you know, hitting the upholstery, you know, kind of leather work if there's leather interior, that kind of stuff. Also, the county's going to work alongside Carvana in getting people trained and then hired through the county's workforce development agency. So it's a few more finer details than that. Also, the county's going to be, you know, putting in, you know, more sewers in the area, adding a traffic light. There's other parcels then south of that old Spiegelberg Orchard property, south of Route 2, along West Ridge, Mill Ridge Road, that is going to those new sewer lines are going to help development in that area. So it's kind of an interesting mix of, you know, of local work, local infrastructure going in, and plus some of these more of these details on who's going to get hired among that, you know, almost $13.5 million payroll that's been promised at the site.
So a lot of good news for sure, but as you mentioned, it's still developing, and we expect to get some more details here in the coming weeks. Well, Dave, I know you wrote an article not long ago talking about how the county offices will certainly benefit from the CARES Act, and we should expect a few alterations for a variety of different reasons, but how will things be altered, and how exactly was this going to directly affect the Board of Elections as well?
So it's an interesting story with the Lorain County Board of Elections up there in Sheffield Township at their location there, their headquarters. Basically, the Board of Elections needs some work done, and some of that will be ensuring that voters who are, maybe in, in wheelchairs or use walkers, people who have mobility issues can get inside that building. You know, it being a county building, it's supposed to be, accessible to basically anybody who wants to go in. So there needs to be some work done there. Now, it's been a while since the Secretary of State's office came in, except they came in, just right sort of in the middle of the pandemic and said, some of this work needs to get done, and it needs to get done by the election, by the upcoming November election. So the county's scrambling a little bit at this point to get some of that work done. And basically that's going to involve, some of the entrance ways and making sure that counters are kind of lower and that counters are also a little more spread out so that people, in the future when they come in to vote and say it's, say we're out of the pandemic and we're into flu season, spread them out a little bit. A little more security for the people behind the counters helping out. We're going to see some tents in the parking lot and on the lawns of the Board of Elections this coming November, especially when people want to drive up, drop off, absentee ballots. There's going to be only, one of these absentee ballot collection boxes that the Secretary of State was talking about a couple weeks ago. There's only going to be one of those boxes and only one place where you can drop your ballots for ballot security, which is which there's been a kind of go around in the Ohio State House, about that. But that's the rule as it stands right now. But a lot of these county offices are going to need, there's going to have to be ways to serve more people and serve everybody, safely and securely and in the same, in the same fashion, be some equity and some equality there. So again, you're going to see some tents up at the Board of Elections, especially. And also in the future, in the very near future, some changes to that actual physical location to kind of make entrance and egress a little bit easier for everybody.
Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on the local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. All right, Dave, we've covered a number of different topics here already today, but we'll transition now into one you wrote not too long ago talking about how there was a big endorsement over the weekend for Michelle Hung. Explain why the Lorain Safety Forces unions decided to back her.
Yeah, so as some people know, and if everybody doesn't know, Michelle Hung, who is a North Ridgeville City Councilwoman, won the primary, and she is now facing off to be county commissioner against incumbent Democrat Lori Kakoski, who is on the Board of Commissioners at this point. The Lorain Police Union, Police Lodge 3, has endorsed Michelle Hung over Lori Kakoski. Kind of a surprise. Lori Kakoski was a three-term Lorain City Councilwoman, some years ago, and she's been a county commissioner for about the past 16 years now. And in that time, as I spoke with some of the union officials, they basically said, some of our officers here trend kind of young, so they only know Ms. Kakoski's, her experience and her service as a county commissioner. And they don't know maybe, so much about what she did when she was on Lorain City Council. But both candidates went and spoke to the FOP Lodge, had meetings with them, took questions, discussed their platforms. And basically, 60% of the members who were present at these meetings voted to endorse Michelle Hung over Lori Kakoski. And now another union official, Sergeant Jake Morris, who is the Political Action Committee chairman. Sorry, I had to read that for the Fraternal Order of Police, Lorain Lodge 3. He basically said, the commission. Commissioner's race, it's more of a budgetary position, and union members, didn't dig real deep into, any kind of questions of, police versus anti-police. He thought that, both candidates were comfortable for the union membership, supportive of officers and supportive of order, law and order. They didn't feel, uncomfortable with either candidate, but 60% of their membership said, "Hey, we're gonna take a chance on Michelle Hung, and we're gonna endorse her." She has also secured the endorsement of the Lorain Firefighters Union, IAFF Local 267. So they decided, you know, in that union that Hung had a lot of enthusiasm for the issues that the firefighters were bringing up as well. So that's kind of a coup for Michelle Hung to get those two, you know, big safety forces unions endorsements. You know, she was pleased, and unfortunately, you know, Commissioner Koski and I weren't able to get on the phone with each other so I could ask the questions about the endorsements for her opponent.
Well, and we're getting awfully closer. We're just a couple of months away, but, you know, as you put that story together, how much do you think that means for Michelle Hung?
I think that's probably a pretty solid win. I know that she's put both of those endorsements up on her website already, and then she felt really proud that she could go in and speak with these officers and firefighters at different times, and she said, "Look, I work well with these guys, and gals." They, you know, she said that she had a lot of experience speaking with, you know, when she was running for North Ridgeville City Council, speaking with the union that represents those officers. So she had some experience. She had some good, good track record talking to them and saying, "This is what I want for our police officers. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that I think I can do for you if I'm in office, and, you know, please, you know, give me your vote." So I think that Ms. Hung was real proud of the fact that she could pull those endorsements, and those, you know, the Lorain FOP especially is kind of a big endorsement. You know, they've gone around the horn, you know, a little bit back and forth on endorsements in the past. But I think that's considered a pretty solid win for Michelle Hung there.
Yeah, sure sounds like it. No question about that. All right, Dave, we've come to that time in our interview where we need to talk about the best scanner stories of the week. Long weekend, sometimes that tends to bring out the more entertaining scanner stories. So which one stood out to you?
Well, as you know, there were some pretty hefty rains, over the past couple of days, that caused some flooding, and we're glad that it seems to be that most everybody's okay out there. But I'll give you one: Dateline Garfield Heights, a green Jeep has driven into the flooded area of Broadway. He's stuck, and the driver has climbed out of the passenger compartment and is sitting on top of the vehicle. And this following editorial statement is not endorsed by myself or the Chronicle Telegram, but the writer of the scanner story wrote, "Typical Jeep driver."
Wow. Shots fired. Shots fired.
Wow. How about that? My girlfriend drives a Jeep too. She won't be pleased to hear this.
Wow.
No, that's why I do not endorse that statement. And I know many fine people who drive Jeeps, and sometimes they're a little more able to take on the challenge, of what Mother Nature may bring. But at this point, I think this gentleman lost.
Well, at least he had the wherewithal to get out of his car and sit on top of his vehicle, right, before he could figure out a plan and get to safety. So we'll
Absolutely.
Give him that. Yeah, he found a way to escape. Well, Dave, what's that?
I was just going to say, let's hope he's okay and safe and dry these days. So.
Yes, well, I'll tell you what, it's not so bad being dry out there today, but yesterday that seemed like it was almost impossible. So you're right, glad he's safe. Dave, we appreciate you joining us as always, and we look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Absolutely. Sounds good, guys.
Thank you, Dave. Again, that's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on the local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. They're on Broad Street here in Elyria, right across from the hospital. You can visit them in person. You can also visit them online at vandemarkjewelers.com. That's vandemarkjewelers.com. They're great people. And if you are in the need to head on down there and pick out anything that you can think of, for whether it be a birthday gift, an anniversary gift, or perhaps you're looking for something a little bit more than that, they've got you covered. So make sure that you stop on by Vandermark Jewelers. You'll have a fantastic jewelry buying experience. They're a trusted name in jewelry. When you stop by, I promise you it'll take one visit. That's all it'll take, and you'll see why. We need to step aside and take a